We tee it up with the folks from Talk Radio News here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. This time around, Jeff Holtzman joins us. We're not going to hold it against him that he's a lousy Redskin fan. But that's okay. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Well, you know, real quick, it's funny. The Redskins and Cowboys actually issued a joint statement today because their grievance against the NFL got rejected. You know, this whole thing over them losing millions in cap space because they signed free agents and front-loaded their contracts a couple of years ago.
Right.
So I thought that's pretty interesting. It's one of the, like, I think the only times I think anyone can ever recall the Redskins and Cowboys teaming on something.
Yeah, because otherwise, like, no.
Yeah, but like usual, they both lost. So there you go.
They did. They lost millions for sure. But Jerry Jones, he's never one to lay down a sword. He's always willing to have a fight to the bitter end. And ultimately, he knew he was going to pay, but he's willing to do it anyway. So
yeah,
it's
absolutely
interesting that you say that. We'll see what the season brings, by the way. We'll have to make some kind of a bet off on the side. But of course, for everybody listening to America Tonight, you know I'm not a Cowboys fan. I am a rock, hard, solid Philadelphia Eagles fan.
Even worse.
Come on, Michael Vick wants a ring. He said so today. He's going to get one. We know it. Speaking of rings, it's not about rings, but it's about ringing their necks. The Spain Capital thing has so many legs to it. I can't believe it. Vice President Joe Biden today saying, hey, listen, Spain Capital is fair game. We're allowed to criticize Spain Capital. But the question is, sure, you can criticize them, but won't it blow up in their faces? So especially after Cory Booker, the mayor of Newark, with what he had to say about the Obama himself criticizing Bain, I think it kind of hurts him a little bit. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I think I agree, Kate. I think the general consensus in D.C. right now is that this whole attack on Bain Capital is sort of slowly backfiring on President Obama and his campaign team. And the reason because of that, one of the many reasons is because, as you can see, clearly Democrats don't have their message straight on the issue. Cory Booker, obviously, on Sunday, Meet the Press, you know, said that the attacks on Bain were nauseating to him. And particularly he was bothered by the attacks on the private equity industry, which is a legitimate industry. And that's something that Joe Biden alluded to today in his speech in New Hampshire. He said, look, these guys aren't bad guys, these guys that run private equity firms, but it's just that they're not looking out for the well-being of everybody, and that's what you have to do as president. But I think that even other Democrats have come forth and said that's not necessarily the main job of the president, and that's not something that's necessarily disqualified Mitt Romney from serving as president. I mean, it's just, I think what's happening is it's becoming slowly and slowly, it's becoming harder and more difficult for Democrats to make the bare essence argument that being, making money in the private sector and running a business is a bad thing and somehow disqualifies you. And I think that you're going to see Democrats slowly in the coming days and weeks maybe start to move on to something else or reformulate their attack on Romney and move to sort of make a different angle out of it, because it's not working right now. I haven't seen a whole lot of polling data. But, you know, there was one poll that came out this evening, an NBC News, Wall Street Journal poll, showing President Obama with, I believe, a 3-point lead on Mitt Romney. But in terms of Bain Capital, only 19% of those surveyed said they thought it was a problem for Romney. So I just don't think there's enough appetite in terms of people that associate Romney's time at Bain with being a negative thing.
Yeah, I agree with you. And the thing that's so interesting, and we just talked about that, mentioning Booker, is he's not getting any cover from Democrats. Some of the most influential Democrats on the Hill are not covering this. They're not just playing along. And that's big news, that they're not just, you know, towing the party line. They refuse to do that. So I think he's got to move off of it.
Well, yeah, and you know, look at a guy like Mark Warner, who's a Democrat from Virginia. He was interviewed this morning, and he had honestly nothing but good things to say about Romney in the context of his experience at Bain. I mean, Warner looked at him and said, you know, he's got a great record. He did a great job. He made a lot of money. And so I think that Democrats who are willing to attack Romney over that are frustrated because not everybody in their same party is on message about it, and nothing really hurts the campaign more than someone, you know, or multiple people going rogue. And in this case, that's sort of what's happening. So, you know, I don't know, because it's interesting because President Obama yesterday in Chicago, you know, at his press conference, he said that that is going to be a major issue in the campaign going forward, referring to Romney's time in the private sector and, you know, the contrast between him and President Obama's economic policies. So I guess if they want to make that, you know, a long lasting, far reaching, theme in this campaign, we'll have to see. You know, like I said, I think they're going to have to reformulate the message.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing is, Catholic groups going after, the Obama folks on health care and, of course, the contraception angle of this, the fact that Catholic University, for example, is dumping the coverage because they refuse to cover contraception. And so now there's a big lawsuit Catholic group wise, including Notre Dame. There's over 30 people involved in the lawsuit. And how is the White House taking that?
Well, the White House's response to this has been pretty interesting, and I think it's a pretty significant lawsuit, but it's obvious that you've got Notre Dame, you've got a couple other schools, you've got the Archdiocese of New York.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a big deal, and they're suing the administration, over what they say is this mandate within the healthcare law that religious, organizations and religious, you know, schools, religious universities, like, Notre Dame, for instance, would have to provide for their employees and for their students contraception coverage. Now, the White House's response is that these religious employers are exempt. Jay Carney, the White House press secretary, today's briefing said as much. He said that they don't have to, that they have religious liberty, you know, protection in the law, that they don't have to provide that coverage. But there have been other reports suggesting that that's not true, suggesting that if the provision in the healthcare law stands, that these organizations will have to indeed provide contraception, which is of course something at odds with their religious beliefs. So I think this suit is actually going to make its way at some level in the federal courts, and then there's going to be a decision. Of course, you know, while we're talking about this, you know, the Supreme Court is mere weeks from ruling on the constitutionality of the entire healthcare law, particularly in the individual mandate, which a lot of folks say, you know, is at the center of the law, and if you take it away, there is no law. So we'll know sometime in June what the Supreme Court thinks of the law in general. But at some point, there's going to be an argument and a case on this lawsuit against over the contraception. And you know, the White House says that there are protections, but I'm not so sure.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's going to be interesting to see what happens there. If you were handicapping what's going on with healthcare and the Supremes, because I know this was hot and heavy. We saw each other when I was in Washington, part of that Radio Row thing. What's the feeling now in D.C.? What are you reading and hearing about in the hallways and whatnot as far as what the Supreme Court might do with this?
Well, you know, it's tricky, and I'm not someone who is glued to the Supreme Court blogs day in and day out, but I mean, my position, I think the general consensus in D.C. is sort of the feeling that was felt right after the last day of oral arguments, which is that it's likely that the Supreme Court is going to strike down many parts of this law, but they might uphold the individual mandate. That's sort of the feeling, and it's going to be a 5-4 decision. I would be very surprised if it was anything but a 5-4 decision. There's some people who say it could be 6-3 with Justice Roberts siding with the majority.
Sure.
But I think that ultimately what's going to happen is they're going to find that there's severability, meaning that you can keep the individual mandate, but you can get rid of other. I'm sorry, you can. I totally
get rid of the mandate.
What I meant
to say,
you can get rid of the individual mandate
and do the other
parts of the law, like.
Yeah.
For instance, preventing employers from kicking kids off their beds. Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Jeff Holtzman, we got to fly. Talk Radio News, thanks.
All right, okay, thanks.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Good day, Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. May 22nd, 2012. Gold opened this morning at $1582.90. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1622.72, $811.36 for a half ounce, or $405.68 for a quarter ounce. That's $1622.72, $811.36, and $405.68.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
Can Heart and Body Extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been using Heart and Body Extract for approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I had very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking Heart and Body Extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of better body circulation?
Heart and Body Extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for long and healthy life.
Now on the day I was born, the nurses all gathered round. They gazed in wide wonder at the joy they had found. The head nurse spoke up, said, "Leave this one alone." She could tell right away that I was bad to the bone, bad to the bone, bad to the bone, bad, 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 bad to the bone. I broke 1,000 hearts before I met you. I'll break 1,000 more, baby, before I am through. I wanna be yours, pretty baby, yours and yours. I'm here to tell you, honey, that I'm bad to the bone.
All right, we just scratched the surface here in this hour of America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Boy, the big story on the day, a couple of big things, but I think the biggest deal is what we're seeing in the skies. You know, we've been talking about these bird hits, and then they had the ghost plane. This was a couple of weeks ago. But even scarier to all of us, if we admit it, yes, flying is safer than walking across the street. But, oh, boy, I don't want to be on a plane where someone freaks out and they have an underwear bomb, or we think they have some other kind of a device on them. So here's what happened. A plane was diverted after one of the people on the plane claimed to have one of those booby traps in their body. I want you to first hear what it sounded like from the tower. Check this out.
We do have an emergency aircraft inbound. You can put the hold over Elm.
Wow.
77 Heavy, contact tower 120.7.
Yep, emergency landing. Surgically implanted device, that's what the passenger said. Now, this was a U.S. Airways plane flying from Paris to North Carolina, which had to be diverted after the French woman handed the flight attendant a note saying that she had that device. What do you do with that? So they ended up landing in Maine, for the emergency landing, and they say, you know, they just said it was a security issue. Homeland Security Committee Chairman, House Homeland Security Committee Chairman, Pete King, he's always all over these things immediately. It's like he's wired for sound with all the airports or something. Or maybe it's someone on his staff, I don't know. Anyway, he said the woman who was arrested had no scars, and they believe that the passenger never posed a threat. She's just some kind of a kook, maybe. She was originally from Cameroon, and she had a no-check baggage. Here, there's a big clue. She was planning to stay in the United States for 10 days. So this comes, and this is what would make somebody nervous on that plane, especially imagine the flight attendant, because this comes just a couple of weeks after the CIA stopped that new underwear plot, and just weeks after more reports keep surfacing over these concerns that the terrorists are getting real clever from Yemen and elsewhere, that they've got incredible bomb experts, and they could hide bombs inside their bodies. Here's Alexa Moore on what it was like to be in this plane that was diverted.
That he didn't mean to, like, not tell us what was going on, that he didn't want us to freak out, but that the lady was suspicious of having an explosive on her. They were all shocked, too. They didn't, like, scream or anything, but because I think she was already off the plane. But they, you know, jaws dropped. They were all like, wow, I can't believe this.
Yeah, there's 179 people on that plane. It happened around noon. And so there they were at Bangor International, serious security issue. And luckily they landed safely. Can you imagine? The hair on your arms, boy, it just stands up when you hear things like this, especially if you're somebody who travels. Because of the intelligence, I'll repeat it again, that we've seen on these surgically implanted bombs as a threat to travel, especially overseas travel, it seems. I mean, it could happen anywhere. But the fact that here we were talking about a plane flying from Paris to North Carolina and having to be diverted, that would be... I don't care what anyone says and what the pilot is trying to tell you. I would be a little, I'd be a little freaked out sitting there. I'd be working that cell phone. I'd be hoping that I didn't have all my batteries go down and not have any bars, because that would be my luck. I got no bars. I'm up in the air. I would just, that's what I would do. You'd start making the calls. And I think some of the people on the plane were trying to do that. So the question becomes is, you know, how serious is this threat? Was she just, you know, out of her mind, nuts? We'll see what that proves to be. It doesn't look that way because there wasn't any scars or anything that showed evidence that she had something surgically implanted. But imagine you're on that flight from Paris, you're getting to the United States, you're ready to take that breath. Whew, home. Boy, Paris was great, but boy, it's good to be on U.S. soil. And Bangor is almost 1,000 miles from Charlotte, where they were supposed to land. And, you know, somebody sent me a text immediately, which is now our form of communication, saying you better flip on the tube, you better pay attention to what's going on, because there's something going on with the plane. And the way it was described to me, I thought that something had definitely happened, that a plane had blown up. So luckily, that's not the case. But pretty scary that it happened on the heels of all those other threats. And it does, I hate to say it, because I'm not wishing this, but it does make you wonder. We have dodged so many bullet bombs, you know, where things that could have happened didn't happen on planes, because planes still seem to be the primary target. I always figured bridges and tunnels, whether you were on the West Coast with Golden Gate or New York with the many bridges that separate New Jersey from New York, for example, even with as dogged as you can be about watching and looking for things, I mean, we just all know we have open borders. We have an open way of life. Thank goodness this is what we embrace in the United States. But it is a little scary, I gotta say. All right, speaking of scary, you hate to hear headlines like this one. The U.S. is headed for a fiscal cliff. A fiscal cliff? What does that mean, fiscal cliff? The CBO reported some doom and gloom, saying if the Bush-era tax cuts expire, look out. There's going to be lots of doom in that gloom, and it'll throw the economy into a wicked, wild recession. So we got to pay attention. Yep. The Congressional Budget Office, which supposedly has no sway either way, yeah, right, says the economy would shrink by 1.3% in the first half of next year if the government is allowed to fall off of what they're calling the fiscal cliff on January 1st, and that higher tax rates and more than $100 billion in automatic cuts to the Pentagon and some other domestic agencies are part of that mix are kept in place. So what does that mean? It means, the CBS says, that it would wring hundreds of billions of dollars from budget deficit, and it would represent an additional drag on an already weak economy, on the expansion of that, that it, you cannot do this. So they're into this saying, you do this, you're off the cliff. So we just want to go on record to say, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen if you don't do something about those cuts. And how are we going to rebound after that? Now, the interesting thing is, so you say, okay, they weren't there before. Now they were put back in. There was the Band-Aid that was smashed on top of that. And it's not, at this point, not expiring, but it will certainly expire unless something's done. So now you got this contraction, let's say, in the first half of 2013 because of the tax cuts go away. So those tax breaks aren't there. I'll call it that, right? They're done in the beginning of the year. Then they're saying, the CBO is saying, this would be a terrible recession. Then they're saying that the economy would rebound at a 2.3% growth rate in the second half of the year. So we are screwed and tattooed. Woohoo! Happy New Year 2013 for a bunch of months in the beginning of the year. Then when we hit the second half of the year, maybe by June, things will start to turn around. That's not good. That's not good. The first 6 months. And see, this is all part of the problem of passing the buck, of passing these problems down the line. Last summer, we dealt with this with the debt and the budget agreements, and that was almost $1 trillion in cuts to a lot of agencies' budgets over the next decade. And then the automatic cuts, we already know that we won't even go there with everything with the Pentagon, another trillion. So pretty much, what do? Take your poison in the beginning of the year, hope it's going to, you know, rebound. I'm sorry, a fiscal cliff? I like what Orrin Hatch said, the senator from Utah, who said, you can call it Tax-mageddon, whatever, it's going to be a disaster for the middle class. Start lining up for those lottery tickets. I'm telling you, somebody has to win. Stephen Showhead on the flip side.
All whey protein powders are not created equal. Fresh liquid whey has been used for hundreds of years to restore health to the sick and youth to the aging. Why is it that no one reports these benefits from today's whey protein powders? It is because they are all processed with heat or chemicals, which damages them, making them a burden for your body and making it more likely to cause allergies. One World Whey's True Cool process retains all the powerful properties of fresh raw whey in a concentrated powder. One World Whey is speeding up the body's ability to get healthy, and it is replacing the need for many other supplements. To learn how One World Whey may help you with fat loss, the elimination of inflammation and pain, detoxification of heavy metals, intestinal health, brain function, and increases in strength, energy, and muscle size, call 888-988-3325. Mention coupon code KNOCKOUT and you'll receive a free tube of Knockout Pain Cream with your order, which eliminates soft tissue pain in 10 minutes for 90% of users. Call 888-988-3325 or visit OneWorldWhey.com. That's OneWorldWhey.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Don't answer it! it. How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
UtopiaSilver.com believes, as the Declaration of Independence states, that our rights come from God, not from government. The only lawful purpose of any government is to protect and secure the rights of the people, and no man or government has the authority to take what has been given to us by God. Among these rights are life, liberty, property, and the pursuit of happiness. And America's government has ceased to be the protector of liberty and of the people's God-given rights. But we the people can return America to greatness if we are willing to stand up and reassert our stolen rights. We ask that you join Utopia Silver in changing America's course in history. To save on health care and improve your health, call Utopia Silver at 888-213-4338. For a limited time, new customers will receive 50% off all colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338.
I heat up, I can't cool down. You got me spinning round and round, round and round and round.
Listen, I was wondering, maybe later when you're finished.
You're wearing lipstick. You weren't wearing lipstick before.
I refreshed it a bit.
Sorry, you were saying?
I was wondering if you'd like to have coffee.
Black, 2 sugars, please. I'll be upstairs.
Okay.
That was a little clip of Sherlock Holmes on the BBC. A lot of people are starting to buzz about it. What is it about Sherlock Holmes? Stephen Shohat, our man in Hollywood, and the author of Hollywood Story, short entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies, joins us now. Hey, Stephen, what is it about Sherlock Holmes?
Well, I mean, it's a character that's 125 years old, and when Arthur Conan Doyle wrote the stories, they got...
Whoops, I think we lost Steven there for a second. We'll get him back. Sherlock Holmes, somebody solved the mystery of what happened to Mr. Shohat. Boy, of all the times that he's joined us from the West Coast, too, we've never had that problem. So I am blaming it on playing the BBC clip. But we were talking about Sherlock Holmes, and he mentioned, of course, there about how popular the story is, and maybe that's what the deal is with the rage movie-wise or on the small screen, the fact that there are certain characters, that this is about the character, and then the writing, of course, and breathing life into the character of Sherlock Holmes. But definitely it's about the original story, no question. Hey, Stephen, you were talking about the power of Sherlock Holmes, how it just resonates with people.
Right. In fact, compared to other detectives like Hercule Poirot, for example, people have actually thought, at least some people, that he's real. I mean, he was based on largely on a real man, Dr. Joseph Bell, who taught Arthur Conan Doyle in medical school in Scotland. And even to this day, I mean, the 221B Baker Street, I think there's a hospital there. They get letters asking Sherlock Holmes to solve cases. So, I mean, it's just something that really resonates. I don't think most people feel that way. But I'll tell you, this new series, which advances Sherlock Holmes into the 21st century, it has really caught on. I mean, Benedict Cumberbatch's A Long Coat is being asked for by a lot of people in London. They want to get that coat. I mean, the book sales have gone up like 200%, according to the publishers. I mean, the Robert Downey Jr. Movie was a fine effort, but that really, I don't think, even though they claim that they both studied Doyle, Robert Downey Jr. and Jude Law, I don't think that really had the reaction, the positive reaction amongst the old-time Sherlock Holmes fans that this series is getting.
Yeah, and so the stars you mentioned, Benedict Cumberbatch, but also the other lead actors, Martin Freeman. I don't know much about him.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is a big time for both of them. Martin Freeman got hired to be in The Hobbit, the Peter Jackson movie. He's playing Bilbo Baggins, the main character in The Hobbit. So he's getting tremendous stardom, and he's a family man. And you contrast that with Benedict Cumberbatch, who's single at the moment. And the reason that makes a difference is because Freeman doesn't want to uproot and move to Hollywood, but Benedict Cumberbatch, at least for the moment, has. And he was just recently contacted by J.J. Abrams to do an audition. It was at Christmas time. J.J. Abrams asked him to film the audition. He couldn't find anybody to do it. So finally, kind of upset, he did the audition in his kitchen or somebody's kitchen with an iPhone. And I guess his angst went over really well because he's been hired to be in the next Star Trek movie, and the strong rumors, even though they're not being confirmed by J.J. Abrams yet, is that Benedict Cumberbatch is going to play Khan in the next Star Trek movie.
Oh, so, very cool.
Yeah. So that obviously is going to bring him into huge international, or potentially anyway, I guess there's no guarantees, but huge international stardom. So both of them, have to find time to fit in this series that they're doing. And this series, even though it's only three episodes each season, is a tremendous amount of work. They're an hour and a half. Each one is like a movie. And obviously anybody who plays Sherlock Holmes has a tremendous job with an amazing amount of dialogue to learn. And it's difficult not to fumble those lines. And Cumberbatch is doing an outstanding job. I mean, I think that's, one reason why he's being propelled into such notice here.
Yeah, and you talk about Doyle, and then the question is, in modern times, are they true to Doyle in making it, this modern series?
Well, most people are loving this series, but there are some controversies. I mean, Irene Adler, the character in the Doyle stories who was referred to as the woman, the one who outwitted Sherlock Holmes, she only appeared once, but she seemed to be the one Sherlock Holmes had great affection for, is presented as a dominatrix. And that didn't go over well with a lot of the fans who weren't expecting to see that sort of element on a PBS-style show. Moriarty is played by an actor named Andrew Scott, and he decided not to do any research personally on the character of Moriarty, who's usually presented as older, and sort of distinguished, but Malevin, and he's a young guy playing him, and he really went psycho on the screen. And that, I mean, that is rubbing certain fans the wrong way. That a lot of people thought his performance was over the top and campy. In fact, he said that he made the mistake of going on the internet once and reading forums, and it was something that he really couldn't take, the negative reaction that he got from some people. But overall, I think that most people are really enjoying it, and it has a great deal of suspense because, I mean, it's sort of like, it's obviously more distinguished than Star Trek, but it's sort of like that, and where you have the character in the same situation, but the results might be a little bit different. And I think the producers, in a way, are trying to top Conan Doyle, take the initial elements of the stories and trying to add new twist on them. So no, it there was the show earlier, the Jeremy Brett series, which really stuck to Doyle. And of course, they took place in Victorian times, but this series is willing to go off in different directions and they might do anything. I mean, you never know. Sherlock Holmes might get married. I mean, there's all sorts of possibilities. They're leaving it open-ended. They don't want the audience to be able to predict it. In fact, the last episode, the way it's finished, it was pretty much a cliffhanger, and not to give it away, but a lot of people are discussing how did Sherlock pull that off.
Yeah, don't give it away.
It won't be revealed till next year.
Oh, because you have us so interested in this. You know, 75 actors have played Sherlock Holmes by my count. That's crazy. You're so right. It's hard to fill the shoes, I guess is what we're saying, of Sherlock Holmes, of some of the best actors.
Right. He is the number one most prolific character ever on the big screen and the small screen. He's been played so many times. And you have different interpretations of the way that people can present him. But like, for example, there was a movie with Michael Caine and Ben Kingsley called Without a Clue, where in that version, Dr. Watson was actually the great detective, and he was embarrassed to admit it might hurt his medical practice. And so he hired an actor to pretend he's this detective named Sherlock Holmes, you know, a bumbling, lecherous actor played by Michael Caine. So that's one version. I mean, obviously, the Robert Downey version sort of got into superhero and supernatural territory. There was one with Christopher Plummer and James Mason called Murder by Decree, where they went they tried to figure out Jack the Ripper and solve that case. Of course, the most famous for many years was the Basil Rathbone movies, which he made with Nigel Bruce. And what was interesting about those movies were they started off in Victorian times, but then during World War II, they made them modern, and they had Sherlock Holmes fighting Nazis and things like that. So obviously it's something that can go in many, many different creative directions. As a matter of fact, CBS right now is going to have a new show called Elementary with a female Dr. Watson, a new version of Sherlock Holmes. So it's definitely something that captures the imagination. But I think this show, the Sherlock on the BBC, like I said earlier, is really resonating with the old time fans of Doyle, who really want to see this because it's sort of combining being somewhat true to the originals, but at the same time having suspense where they might go in a different direction. And I think this may be arguably the most unique version they've ever done.
Yeah, I can't wait. Cannot wait to see it. You have me so excited about it. Stephen Shohat, author of Hollywood Stories, Short Entertaining Anecdotes about the Stars and Legends of the Movies. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks so much.
Oh, you got it, Kate.
All right, coming up, everyone, by the way, talking about Sherlock Holmes, you can win a copy of The Last Sherlock Holmes with Robert Downey Jr. If you can tell me, and you're the first person in, five people who have played Sherlock Holmes. Now, the way to do that is you have to go and get press 4 on the website and say America Tonight Poll. Tell us your five. five, and whoever gets in there first, you win a copy of that movie. Hang with us.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today. HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system. Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Attention, information in this one-minute message could save your life. Don't wait for the next emergency to happen. Act now to be prepared. Now, more than ever, civilians and communities must communicate with family, friends, and neighbors in the event of civil unrest, natural disasters, or other emergencies. That's why there's CivilDispatch.com. CivilDispatch.com is a universal system that can be used for a wide array of urgent notification alerts. Weather emergencies, civil unrest, emergency responders, amber alerts, school or business closings, any need-to-know situation. CivilDispatch.com is an emergency dispatch communication system, allowing anyone to quickly and easily send and instantaneously track emergency email and text alert notifications. CivilDispatch.com gives you the power of enterprise alerting without the enterprise cost. Don't find yourself unprepared. Learn more and become a member at CivilDispatch.com. That's CivilDispatch.com, civilian emergency dispatch system. Peace through preparedness.
The famous detective, 211 films, did you know that, have been made about Sherlock Holmes. And this BBC edition, Stephen's right, a lot of people are starting to tune in the United States and elsewhere to the offerings of Martin and Benedict, the two lead actors in this one. And you already heard him talk about Benedict Cumberbatch and what was happening with him and the whole Star Trek thing and whatnot. So send me your top five Sherlock Holmes guys through actors who played Sherlock Holmes by going to the website americatonight.net, click on press four, get press four. When you have it, then you say America Tonight poll, tell me your five. And if it's the same five that I'm thinking of, you win a copy. In fact, I'll give you two movies. The two Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock Holmes offerings, you'll get a copy of those. But the offer only stands through this show. Because you already can look them up anyway. But I think it would get kind of crazy. I was, before we were talking about Sherlock Holmes, and I'll tell you a couple. Did you know that Charlton Heston played Sherlock Holmes in 1991? A little bit of miscasting there. I can't. The Heston, Sherlock Holmes, no. The other person I thought that was miscast, to me anyway, as Sherlock Holmes was Rupert Everett who did it in 2004. You might have a different take on that, however. I think a lot of people would go old school and go with Rathbone or, you know, maybe Jeremy Brett. That would be 80s, mid-80s, if you were going in that direction. So I've given you a couple of them, but not all of them. We're talking about Doyle, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's famous detective, of course, and that's Sherlock Holmes and all of the offerings that there are as far as Sherlock Holmes is concerned. I always do the DVDs every week because Tuesday is DVD day, so I want to make sure that we clean that up before we head for the exits after we're talking movies here. And there's a movie out called This Means War. Chris Pine is in it. Reese Witherspoon is in it as well, and it's two CIA guys who are fighting over the hot woman. They both fall for the same girl. It's okay. I saw it with my mother when I was back east because she likes those kind of things. And she liked it. It didn't, I don't think it did as well at the box office as they thought, $54.5 million. There is another movie out that you can rent for a buck or two at Redbox. In my neighborhood, I swear people line up for Redbox because it's so cheap. It's called The Woman in Black, and this is about a lawyer who has to travel to some remote village and sort out some deceased client's papers, working alone, isolated house. Tragic secrets, comes to figure out that there's this mysterious woman dressed only in black, has to uncover the identity of the woman in black. A little scary. $54.3 million. So some people were interested in this one. Here's a movie that did not do great at the box office either and cost a fortune to make. And George Lucas was involved with this. Because nobody else would take on the project, so he footed the bill for it. It's called Red Tails, and it's the story of the Tuskegee Airmen, the first African-American pilots to fly in a combat squadron mission during World War II. A lot of famous actors are in this movie, but it made $49.8 million at the box office. And then just one last one I'll tell you about. Just quickly, Perfect Sense, and this is a movie about what it means to be in love and to be loved in turbulent times. I think we're going to skip that one. That's weak. That's the weak offering. If you wanted to be kind to your girlfriend, your wife, your future wife, someone that you met on Match.com, probably This Means War would be the thing to rent. I'm just saying, that's probably the direction that you want to go in. I think you should also consider doing something, for goodness sake, to protect your computer. I'm not lecturing, I'm just being realistic based on something that I saw today. And I think this has been reported pretty heavily over the past year. I mean, you know, I'm going to say before this year, even that we know that this is the new frontier. Cyber problems, cyber jihad. That's all. That's the thought. Besides, I mentioned bridges and tunnels and everything. What would happen is if you just cut into our computers, we're already being hacked into all over the place. But Al-Qaeda is looking at cyber warfare against the U.S. There was an Al-Qaeda operative that called for electronic jihad against the United States and compares how vulnerable and how vital American computer networks are to what some of the flaws were in aviation security before the 9/11 attacks. So saying, hey, listen, these people are dopey. They don't get it. This is what we can do. This is where we can go. Let's launch some cyber attacks against the U.S. And that's what the video says. I saw the video. You can see the video. I'm sure it's all over the place. And the video calls for a covert Mahajan to launch these attacks in government critical infrastructure areas, the electric grid. The FBI picked this up last year. It was released today by the Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs. That's why it gets a little bit of buzz. And they have said that, look, this is pretty clear evidence that there are other terror groups that want to attack the cyber systems of our infrastructure. Duh. We knew this. So I hope they're doing everything to protect our systems the best they can. But it is very worrisome because of how critical this is. Think in your own life. Close your eyes for a second. Think in your own life, I'm serious, about what happens if everything is cut off. What happens? What would you do? How do you get to things? Even banking. How do you get to banking? You know how everybody does online banking? That's risky. Unless you're working at a company that has incredible security network. We're all pretty risky there. And so this threat of the attack is pretty real. And they're closing the gap of making it happen. And they're trying to stage some serious cyber attacks. And they're getting the capabilities. I mean, think about it. If you're terrorists, what do you have? You've got tons of capital, right? You're getting backing. And you can certainly get the best criminal hackers that money can buy because they're not going to care about it. And cyberspace is very, very big. It's a weapon. It's an unbelievable weapon that can pop up and bite us at any time. You know, the Homeland Security Committee says the Department of Homeland Security received about 50,000 reports of cyber intrusions or attempted intrusions since October. So what does that mean? Do you say, well, 50,000, is that a lot? How do we compare it? It's an increase of 10,000 reports over the same period from the last year. I think this is very real, but I don't believe this is so shocking because we knew that this is, of course, where would we be vulnerable? What would be the next place that you would try to attack? And the answer is the systems, the critical systems, the information, the damage you could do with the information, but just even shutting down major systems, especially within the government. The government has had a lot of problems with this. And they've also had problems with the laissez-faire attitude of people who leave sensitive information in their car, in their computer. I mean, you got to be kidding me with that. So now you have a video that calls for electronic jihad. I'd say in the virtual world of the big bad terrorists that we should take this pretty seriously because of what's probably been going on behind the scenes. It is a very real possibility. They're closing that gap, and they want to make those attacks become realistic, really happen. How easy is that compared to putting it on the line in a plane or somewhere else? Because you could do it from afar. We have already seen that with people who have hacked into systems, so be very, very careful with your information. Not that you don't already know that, but be even more vigilant. Any thoughts on the show, send them to me, americatonight.net.
Hey, if you don't like America, then you can get out.
You will respect my authority.
Why wouldn't I want to be here? This is fantastic. This is great.